Blog Talk Radio.
For me,
I want that off the board.
And I think we need to get back to space.
Amongst friends, conversations for the grown and sexy, where we discuss everything concerning life, love, sex, and relationships.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Amongst Friends. Hello, are we on?
Yes.
Great, thank you. I'm glad to know. Welcome to Amongst Friends tonight. We're talking about dealing with difficult people. We're so glad that you've joined us. Please give us a call with your comments and your opinions and your thoughts at 760-683-2662. Join us on Facebook at Amongst Friends Radio Talk Show. Or you can go on www.blogtalkradio.com/amongstfriends and get into the chat there. We're excited tonight about this show. We're talking about dealing with difficult people at work, at church, and in your family and your friends. We all know people who are just genuinely difficult to deal with, and we're going to talk about it tonight. Q has advised us not to be violent. I am grateful to have sharing with us tonight Deidre, Brittany, Joey, Jeff, and Q, your hosts for Amongst Friends. So we're going to dive right in. How's everybody feeling tonight?
Good.
Great.
I'm feeling all right.
Jeff is in his Broadway singing mood, so that tells you how he's doing. So, difficult people, let's start with dealing with the difficult people at work. We're all grateful for our job, so we realize that we have to get along with a diverse group of people, and that coworkers are much like family. You don't get to pick them. There's very little dictation you have over the environment. Some of us are in offices. Other folks are in cubicles. I know personally it was a major adjustment for me working with difficult preferences at work. When I went to a new job and was in a open space format, sort of like you see on TV for Facebook and those kind of organizations where it's just a big open floor and everybody kind of works at desks. There are no walls. There's no cubicles. It's just open. And people can be difficult about conversation, tone, music, things like that, and learning to have to tap into their personalities and understand that was a new venture for me. So a year later, it's gotten a little bit better, but one of the things I found 10 tips for dealing with difficult people back then, and one of the things that really helped me and was the biggest thing for me was to not take it personally. That difficult people who are just genuinely difficult, you can't take it personally, but that's their personality, that's the way they are, or even if it's something that you find to be difficult, that they may not necessarily be difficult. And I adopted the concept of no offense given, no offense taken. And so cautioning on the side that they really didn't mean to be offensive, trying to take it from the positive. How have you all dealt with difficult people at work, or can you share a difficult situation in the workplace? That would be anybody.
I don't know if I want to tell my story. Let me start.
Why not? Why not? Are you being difficult, or is a difficult person listening?
Well, no, because when they used my story on Law and Order, they changed the names to Save the Innocent.
It was on Law and Order, which episode?
It was the one where it was SVU and I mean, I've had several situations. I've had several situations where I've had probably the worst kind of problem to have at work is to have a difficult boss to work with or a difficult manager. And I guess, you know, probably the worst one was, you know, when my manager was, you know, got so frustrated that he wanted to, you know, he wanted to physically fight because he was upset. Something happened at his level, and he got thrown up under the bus by a manager above him. And as they say in business, you know, shit flows down. So he tried to come out to the floor where the peons were and give us the business. And, you know, at that point, the peons, one of them being me, decided to ask questions as to why we had to deal with all this rage coming from him, and it, like, set him off, and he wanted to put his hands on me. I mean, I defended myself. It wasn't a fight or nothing, but, you know, he, you know, came at me, and I stood my ground. But I do know that from being in that experience, you know, I could have had the mentality of dealing with him as I would have dealt with an average Joe in the street, and taking it from that little push and shove situation to the point of, yeah, I want to, like, body slam you, and I want to put you in a headlock and choke you out, and I want to black your eye or bust your nose. I want to crack your jaw. I want to step on your throat. I could have taken it there, but I didn't. So it was a level head. It was a he met up with a level headed Jeff, and that level headed Jeff was just
I said we appreciate it because while you were talking, it seemed like it was still in you what you were feeling.
Oh, like you want to go back and get some revenge or something?
Oh no, it wasn't that. I was just putting it out there as to if I would have had the mindset of not being a level-headed person in that situation, I probably would have had a street mentality of, you know, I got to fight for my life type situation because he's putting his hands on me, and I didn't have that. I knew what environment I was in. I knew who he was in that environment, and I just stood my ground to basically protect myself so that he couldn't do any more bodily harm to me, other than when he, like I said, and we had the little push and shove match. So, but I mean, there was like three different ways where that I could have changed the situation around, but I didn't. So I guess you just have to, in certain situations, especially if they go physical, if you keep a level head, you can still come out of those okay to a certain degree.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I definitely agree with that. I think you have to be the person, especially when you feel like this is just a difficult person and it's not much more to it, you have to be the person to maintain the calmness or the level head, or else it will go real bad, real fast. And many times when there's a difficult person, I've noticed that they seemingly are understood by others, or people automatically assume that they're difficult, so your behavior is assumed the negative in the situation because that's just how Sally is. But for you to act like that, that's strange. You know what I mean? So it comes down a little bit harder on you. Does anybody else have a difficult work situation that they'd like to share, or some tips for dealing with that work?
Well, I had a situation where and it's funny because now me and the young lady are really, 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 really good friends. But she came into my office because she was going to check me. And so she was a little loud. And I was like, okay, you're going to have to leave the office right now because the conversation is over. And that, you know, when you tell somebody they need to lower their voice and leave, you know, that pumps them up and makes them want to get louder. And it was like, okay, so either you're going to leave my office or we're going to call security, which it's your choice, which one you want to do. And she was like, what I'm going to tell you is this. And I was like, yeah, so I'm going to walk you out of my office and we're going to shut the door. And then when you realize or when you come to your senses, you want to bring it down a couple of notches, then you can come on back. But right now, I'm going to need you to get out of my office. I'm going to need you to get out of my office right now. So she had to leave my office.
How did y'all become good friends?
Huh?
How did y'all become good friends? How did y'all get over that difficult situation?
Well, see, because it was one of those things, because I didn't go there with her. It was just like, we can talk. I mean, like, we can handle, you know, office issues without trying to, I'm going to snap and I'm going to read you and all that. No, we can talk like adults, but you're going to lower your voice and we're not going to do this. And I guess it was because I didn't go there with her. It was, you've always been the one that's like, okay, yeah, you get it together. And then when you get done, come back over and let's talk. Because sometimes even now, when she goes into that little red where she can't see and she goes into her moment, so I'm going to check you, I'd be like, okay, when you finish doing all that, then come back and talk to me, because right now I'm not even listening. I'm not going to even participate in that. And then... Here more recently, I had a situation where at work I'm very black and white. I need to get my job done. I don't have time to be talking and laughing and joking. Look, I got a deadline to meet, so I'm going to go and get what I need done. Well, this one lady who was very, I'm not going to say she was petite, but she was smaller than me. And so... So she came into my office and she said, I'm going to tell you this. You got one more time to disrespect me and, you know, step in front of me and talk to the supervisor before I get what I need done. You got one more time. And that's all I'm going to tell you. You got one more time. And I was like, one more time to do what? She going to do? You just got one more time. And so being the good professional that I am, I felt threatened. But then when I reported it, they was like, come on now, Deidre. You know good and well, you was not threatened. So you don't take my stuff seriously? This woman threatened me. She said, I got one more time, or else.
Okay, but were you genuinely feeling threatened, or because she did sarcastically, kindly, she did threaten you? But did
no,
you really
did.
Feel
no,
threatened?
No, she did threaten me because it was one of those situations where it came out of nowhere. And it was like, what the hell is going on? What are you talking about?
Okay, my question is, though, did you really feel threatened?
Again,
or did you feel like if she had done that, fine, because whatever you think you're going to do, I'm going to have something for you when you get there.
Okay,
did
well, of course
that?
No, I felt threatened because, you know, one, I don't know where it came from. Number two, I don't know what that try me one more, do it one more time or else. I don't know what that or else is. And of course, whatever you do, I'm going to be ready for whatever. But it's still a threat because it's unknown. I don't know what you're going to do. But just because I'm taller or larger doesn't mean that someone saying or someone threatening me should be taken lightly.
Well, no, absolutely not. That is true. they should it should be handled in the same way that they would if it was somebody who they felt was more intimidating or in that situation. But how did you, okay, so when they rejected your complaint of threats, how did you go back and deal with her, or how do you deal with her at this point?
No, what I told them was, look here, let me tell you, I'm going to still do my job, and I'm still going to respond, but I'm going to tell you. Now, see, I have reported it to my supervisor that she has threatened me. Now, if she comes back up in my face, we ain't going to handle it professional the next time. I'm just telling you now. So if I need to defend myself, I done already put it on the record that this has already been an issue. And what they told me was I had a I told my supervisor, and he's like 6'3". And he was like, I had a similar situation where the young lady was very petite, and she was like, I need you to get out of my office. I feel threatened. And immediately, because of his size, the lesser being the person who was smaller and more petite was the one that they took their word over the other person because his physical body was more threatening. And I was like, what they got to do with me? I don't care nothing about that. But if this is how y'all want to handle it, just know that if she come back, I'm going to take care of it. How about that?
Well, I still dealt with her.
It wasn't one of those situations where, you know, I talked to her and, hey, girl, how you doing? Mm-mm. I'm going to do my work and you're going to do your work. And if I need to get some work done through you, then that's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to go on about my business.
Ladies and gentlemen, late breaking news, Fox 5, there seems to be a missing IHOP employee. She's being searched for. She was reported missing. Person of interest is Deidre Roberson.
You are so simple.
You're so simple.
So, oh my God, really?
So here's the thing. In these, I'm just going to go through real quickly these 10 tips for dealing with difficult people, and we can kind of pull out from them as we see fit. Of course, I already told you guys, don't take it personal is one of them. Having supporting evidence in writing, ask questions rather than make statements, use appropriate phrases when needed, sort of like, that's not what I said, that was not my question, please let me finish. We're actually saying the same thing, you know, try to diffuse the conversation. Ensure understanding and communication. Separate the issue from the person. I have a lot of difficulty with that one. Be assertive rather than obnoxious.
Let's talk about that, Heather. Why is it that you have problems with that?
Separating the issue from the person?
Yes.
Because I am totally convinced that many people, the issue that they have is a part of who they are. Yeah. It's a part of who they are. I mean, when this says about separating the issue from the person, that when discussing an idea that a difficult person advances, try to separate the idea from the person in particular. If you have a concern, make clear that the concern lies with the idea. Yes, a difficult person might still take offense, but it's less likely. So instead of saying your idea has several issues, consider the idea has several issues. Well, I feel like a person's actions or behaviors or conversations, if they do it, they've taken ownership of it. And so it's yours.
Okay.
So,
but go ahead.
So it's sort of like when somebody says something that I think is stupid or dumb. I am very, very, very probably much willing to say that was stupid. But I think the flip side to that for me is that I don't dismember the person, or I don't feel like I can't be your friend, or I can't be around you, I can't deal with you. I'm just okay with calling you crazy or stupid.
Mm-mm-mm. Yeah, you need to work on that.
I do. I mean, I've said this before. But I also feel like you ought to cooperate with who people are. And I don't think that it's appropriate to tear people down or to, you know, be mean. So I would never do it in that manner, because I think we all have our own level of crazy, because I surely have mine. So it's not as if I'm saying, oh, you're crazy, you have a disease, ooh, stay away. It's just more like separating the issue from the person. And that, I think that also gets difficult when you're dealing with someone who is a difficult person, because you can't rationalize or reason with them. I'll give you a prime example. I started a job working in an apartment, and one of the things for me to do was to reconcile credit card reports. So in my absence, someone else took it upon themselves in the accounting department to reconcile some reports so they could get done what they wanted to do versus waiting on me to come back and just letting that piece be done that way. So when questions arose about it, the controller comes to me, and I say to her, as I'm picking up my bag on my way out the door, this person walks over to my desk and says, this is missing, and we don't have this, we don't have that. What's going on? What is this number, that, whatever? And I basically say, I can't answer your questions. I did not do that report. You're going to have to talk to Beth. She says, but we need this information, and we can't do it. And I say again, I can't help you. Now, mind you, I'm getting ready to leave. It's been a full day, and I'm already there 2 hours beyond the time that I was there, supposed to be there, that I should have left. I can't answer that question for you. I don't have any information to give you. Well, it's your responsibility. I mean, it's your report. I can't answer your question because I didn't do it. I don't have the background information. I don't know where they pulled this money. I don't know. When it was all said and done, I simply said to the person, I don't have answers for you. I'm very clear on what's my role and my responsibility here. But for that particular report, I can't answer you. I can't help you. You're going to talk about it. It was done when I wasn't here. I got my bag and I leave. The vice president calls me and informs me that the person felt bullied, intimidated, and that I had spoken to them and yelled at them in a manner that they had never experienced before. In their life, and they're at least 10, 15 years my senior. Now, for someone like me, who is just very clear, very direct, was not yelling, because I definitely know how to yell. Now, I talk loud, but we're standing face to face. I'm standing on the side of my desk, behind my desk, computers facing me. You're standing over top of the monitor, so when this conversation begins, I'm sitting down, you're standing up. I'm gathering my things. And so she's just difficult in general. And the information was given to me, but the VP said, y'all are going to have to work that out. So you take this book, Crucial Conversation, and y'all are going to have to wrap yourselves around it and have a crucial conversation. And the crucial conflict is a whole series, crucial conversations, crucial conflict, whatever. So I go in to talk to her after I get myself together, because some of the things that she said as far as me bullying and things like that, I just felt like that was very strong language, especially to use in the workplace. I speak with HR. HR is like, take the definitions, because there is a cultural difference. So she may be using a word but not using it properly, that kind of thing. I go in to sleep with her, and we're not all the way into either both of us vocalizing, where she begins to tell me that I need some coaching, that she'd work hard to be where she is, and she's the controller. that she's not sure how I was raised.
Mm.
So at that point, I felt like, okay, we're not going to be able to talk anymore because I can't separate the issue of what happened yesterday from the person when you start to say, I'm not sure how you was raised, but because now you're talking about character issues, family upbringing, like moral standards, that kind of thing. So I left that conversation and informed HR that, you know, we didn't make much leeway. Let's probably revisit this in 30 days, and I'll try to move forward. But what I've noticed about her, we probably had two run-ins, is that there is a cultural thing, and then there is a hierarchy issue. Mm-hmm. And she's just one of those people that feels like if this is my title and my job, anything and everybody who's not on my level, you ought to act a certain way. You ought to respond to me a certain way. You ought to talk a certain way. And so I think in those instances, it further perpetuates my separating the issue from the person because now no matter what happens with her or however I deal with her, it is always going to be filtered through those incidents.
Hmm.
Okay. I can't separate them. So another one of these tips is to go ahead, Jeff.
I was gonna say what you should have been able to do is to go to the hospital and let them separate your lovely digits from around her neck.
Oh, Lord. We don't have violence in the workplace.
Huh?
We don't do violence in the workplace.
What are you working?
She works for the government, so you already know what that is.
Whether you work in the federal, whether you work in the government or not, you should not have violence in the workplace. Oh, my goodness.
No, I agree. I agree totally. I agree totally. You should not have violence in the workplace. But I just feel like every now and then it might be useful.
The same way that I used to think that certain people's, when they get to a certain level of stature, that's the word I'm looking for. When they get to a certain level, they act differently. They don't do peon things. What I've learned is that, I guess, well, it depends on what government job you have. That shit is grimy just with a suit on and a tie. That is grimy with a briefcase. That is grimy with a .mil address. That is ridiculous. The same stuff that goes on because you have all these people walking around now that they have gotten to these certain levels of worth or position or stature or whatever, and then it turns out that, oh, I just ended up on the same playing field as all these other people at the same level. We are doing the same thing. Common cause, common goal type situation. So all that does is just turn you into a peon, which is more zeros in your chest. That's all it does.
You said all that to say, whatever, you still should not be any violence in the workplace, ever. Period, point blank.
I don't think you should ever resort to violence, but I will say that difficult people can push you there. Now, we're talking about difficult people at work, and we want you guys to call in and join us for this conversation at 760-683-2662. Again, that number is 760-683-2662 or on Facebook, Mux Friends Radio Talk Show. Let's talk about dealing with difficult people at church.
Mm.
And this is going to be very unique because the given or myth or understanding is that everybody in church just gets along and loves one another and is happy in Jesus alone. However, we all know that that is not necessarily the case.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Jess.
Go ahead, sister. Make me lose my religion up in here.
Well, because of the minimal amount that you have, I don't want to do that.
So you go ahead and go first. Well,
because I know it's in limited supply over there, so I prefer that you go ahead and say what you needed to say, my friend.
Oh my goodness!
I was trying to use that as not as me saying it, but since you want to throw me out there like that,
all I'm gonna do
is stand on. You're damn right. I got only a little bit.
Wow.
So I'm glad you realize, and I'm glad you're not willing to take me past the little bit I got.
Well. She tried it. Ooh.
We want you to hold on to it. No, I think, there are difficult people everywhere. And I think sometimes we assume that it's easier to just love everybody and to play along to get along. But one of the things that I found, my pastor always talks about cooperating. With what is cooperating with people, where they are. And I think that that's important, but also the concept of truly loving one another is important, because if you love someone, there is a certain level of interaction and engagement that you'll have with them. There's a certain amount of forgiveness that you'll extend to them, grace that you'll give to them, and you'll look beyond their fault, and interpret. Say what?
No, you won't.
Where do that?
Not when you church. Love someone. No, that's at home. I mean, it's just like if your spouse or your sister or brother does something to you, when you love them, like you love when you love someone, you look beyond a whole bunch of stuff. You turn your head to a whole lot versus someone that you don't love.
But you're supposed to love everybody.
Exactly. That's my point. That we don't love everybody.
Word up.
That is my concise point, that we don't love everybody. Because you would probably be more capable of dealing with difficult people, because you would separate the issue from the person. You look beyond how they're acting obnoxiously and meet their need or their want at that time.
Well,
so we don't love, but I mean, do we have some different kind of giving towards people in church that we don't necessarily have outside of the church?
Repeat that question.
Do we have a certain level of giving and endurance for people inside of the church who are difficult versus people who are outside of the church? So meaning, if there's a difficult person at church, are we a little bit more lenient because we want to put on the facade of being a Christian and loving everybody versus how we would treat the difficult person at work or in the store?
Mm-mm. Y'all gonna get the same thing.
Yeah, you come at me wrong down that pew, it's a done deal. That's right. You're going to get the book of Luke right upside their head.
Yeah, I'm not going to do it. So we're not going to have violence in the sanctuary either.
No violence in the sanctuary?
No, not even on the church parking lot.
How you going to say we ain't going to have violence In the sanctuary, when I can sit in the sanctuary and read about the walls of Jericho coming tumbling down? I can read about Sodom and Gomorrah.
All I'm gonna say is, right now you can do better. That's all I'm gonna say. Just do better. That's it.
Come on now.
No violence. No kicking nobody in the throat. No, none of that.
All I'm trying to say is that wherever the conflict shows up, and you get to your final that this little conflict that pops up is the final thing between you and the person, and you have to let something go.
You walk away.
You have to let a word come out.
You turn the other cheek.
But okay, but do you turn the other cheek only in church when it comes to people in church who are difficult, or do you do that everywhere you go?
I do that everywhere I go. The same thing that I would say in the workplace, I'll say it in the church.
Really?
Because, yes. Now, Heather, I done told you about some instances about some church folks. And you done told me a couple of things that I needed to do, but I didn't do those things.
Well, see, probably if you had done what I told you to do, we wouldn't be having this, but okay.
yeah. So, no, I treat everybody the same.
I know when I was a young dude and I was coming up and my mom was dragging me to church. I know that I saw some things. I saw Sister Williams walk up to Sister Thompson, and they had a couple words. And them words took them outside to the front of the church, and they had a fist fight.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
Lord, the saints
fight.
I'm
serious.
Oh,
but you just never seen anybody fight at church, Deidre?
Oh, no, Lord Jesus.
I remember people fighting in church.
What in the devil is going on with y'all churches?
I think it's not about churches. I think it's people. And people are the same everywhere they go.
The devil done jumped on them. But
if a person is difficult in the church, why do we say it's the devil that jumped on them, but when they at work, we don't say it's the devil?
I say rebuke
you.
Call
it the devil that...
Rebuke you.
In
the name of Jesus. Yes.
Whatever. It's universal.
Let me lay hands, because right now you having some demons wrestling demons.
Let me lay my hands balled up in a fist, cross your jaw.
No, Jeff.
Yeah.
Violence is not the answer.
Okay.
Whew.
Sometimes the only thing people respect is their ass handed to them.
Oh, my Lord. No, it's not.
Well,
fill them with kindness?
Excuse me?
Didn't you say kill them with kindness? Not with your fist?
Yeah. Kill them. Yeah. I said kill them with kindness. Punch them with a smile.
Kick them
with a wink.
No.
Stab them with kind words of encouragement. Shoot them with kudos and a job well done. That's what I said.
Okay,
I think the difference is at work you are going to maintain a certain level of professionalism because there is something to lose, there's something on the line, it's your job. It seems a little bit more tangible. At church, you're going to handle it very differently because there's a image or a belief or recognition that you want people to give that you are acting in a Christian way. However, that becomes difficult, and especially for someone like me who has grown up in the church. So when you're a PK, you're far more privy to church atmosphere, church environment, and church people far more often than probably the average person.
Right.
I know, you know, difficult people who just, no matter what it is, if you inquire rehearsal, they're going to keep saying, oh, that part's too high. Can you take it down? Well, why are we going to wear that? Like, to me, you're being difficult. When you, like, nothing is ever right. Nothing is ever suitable for you. Can we meet, the Missionary Society meet after service? Well, I got to get something to eat, so can we make it at 4 o'clock? Like, that's being difficult to me. And there are people like that in church, and many times you just have to swallow it, bite your tongue. And I'm sure that if I wasn't in church, I wouldn't do that. But there's a certain image you want to maintain. Mm. So are you telling me, Deidre, that dealing with that kind of difficult person, you would speak to that? You wouldn't just say, okay, let me keep my mouth closed on this one?
Mm-mm. If it was, I mean, if somebody's always saying something, like, look, yo, for real? Like, you always got something to say. Like, can you just get along with everybody? Can you just do this?
And what if the pastor says, allow her to be herself, and how can we accommodate her?
Mm. That's right. So what you should do is turn the other cheek.
Okay, I mean, if that is what the shepherd of that house, of that church, says that that's how he wants to handle it, then that's what I'm going to have to respect. And we're going to move right on along.
Cue organs. Drummer.
Because what do you want me to do? You want me to go up and look here? I don't care what the pastor say. What we not going to do is do this.
Well, don't you think it's the right thing to do, though? Because I think just threw that out there, but I think for me, it becomes one of those scenarios where you do have aught in your heart, because when you don't say nothing, it wells up inside of you.
No.
And then you start going in the other direction. When I see Sister Susie comment, oh, yeah, other direction. If Sister Susie is on that committee, fans, I appreciate the opportunity. I can't.
Mm-mm. No, I don't do any of that. That's too much.
Well, then God bless you, but I'm not serving on the committee with Sister Susie.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Can we all get along?
We can, and the best way for us to do that is for everybody, if you in the sandbox, let me go get on the swing.
Oh, Lord.
And if you want to swing, I'll go get on the slide board. I think that makes for perfect harmony.
Well, you know what, Heather? You got to do whatever you need to do so that there is no violence in the sanctuary or on the church grounds. How about that? So if that's what you need to do, then you go ahead and
I think Jack would be the only person
who's violent.
Word up. Now, let's be clear about this. Deidre, I guess Deidre is viewing violence in the physical altercation way, meaning like I'm punching somebody, kicking somebody, you know, body slamming somebody over a pew, breaking their back. No, I'm also talking about verbal violence. How we actually converse and conduct ourselves when people are around and when people are not around. I'm talking about that type of. Let me say this.
Now, we're not going to get loud in the church either. What you're going to do is you're going to lower your voice. That's what you're going to do.
Hold up.
You're going to lower your voice. 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 Or I can walk away. Or I can walk away,
and I'm just gonna run through WWE off the last pew, catch you in your neck, and then you're gonna have to fight me. See what I'm saying? Because what you're gonna do is you're gonna run from the issue. Sister, I need you to stand your ground. I need you to talk to me. However we need to talk it out. Because seriously, what we've just proven to each other is that civil conversation cannot happen between us. We need to get things out of our heart, out of our soul right now, so that we can progress even in a civil manner. So
okay, and you can do all that. You can do all of that with your tone lowered. See, because what we're going to do is we're going to be civilized and we're going to be professional. And I'm going to tell you, you keep talking and you can keep doing all of that, but let me tell you this.
Right.
If you want to talk to Deidre, you're going to lower your voice. And we're going to talk like we's grown people. We're not going to have no tantrums. We're not going to act like little kids. We're going to lower our voices.
What you do, what I'm laughing on the inside when I hear you say we're going to act like adults. Adults run the gamut of doing everything that kids do and do it worse.
Okay, well, I'm going to tell you something. You start throwing tantrums. You start raising your voice. I'm going to show you how quick I can walk away from that situation real quick. We ain't got to talk about it. See, because I can ignore like nobody's business. I will shut you down. Mm-mm. Because right now you ain't I can't hear anything you're saying because you're yelling. So once you go and calm yourself down, I'll be over here on this side. And when you're ready to talk, we can talk. Because the Lord says, I don't even want your worship if you got it out with your brother. So I'm just saying, I want to rectify whatever problems or issues or whatever. But we're just going to do it in decency and in order. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
Well, I agree that it should be done decently and in order, but difficult people don't always give you that. One of the things that I talked about in dealing with difficult people is that they have erratic behavior, and the more you try to diffuse the situation, they're going to get louder. They're going to try to intimidate and manipulate, just like you said the young lady did when she came in your office. She got louder when you said, you know, you just step out and come back when you're a little bit more calm. How are you? What are your techniques for diffusing that? Because sometimes it's not enough to try to remove yourself, because that person will follow behind you or carry on and carry out. So, what would be a surefire technique for that?
Well, a surefire way in the office is either you can lower your voice or I can call security. Now, the choice is yours.
Yes.
The choice is yours.
What?
Now, that's one. In the church, now, depending on how large the ministry is, I may have to do some hands-on, let's walk this out. No, but, I mean, seriously, you can walk behind me all you want, but, I mean, if you want to look like a ass, that's your call, because I'm just going to walk away. And at the end of the day, if you're following me, sweetie, you do not have access to my car. And so you can walk all the way behind and all this kind of stuff, and I'm going to get in my car. Now, if you start trying to vandalize, it is called 911. We have an issue. And if y'all don't want me to go to jail today, y'all going to either come get this man or this woman, and we're going to move right on along.
What is?
Well, yeah, one of the things I think is critical is to remain rational. In my latter years, as I'm getting older, I am becoming more acquainted with this concept. I have had some bouts where rationalization may have slipped out the window. However, remaining rational and not going there with the person is critical, because mm-hmm. I do think once you begin to act erratic and loud, obnoxious, and become difficult, and there's nothing that is satisfying to you or the other person in the conflict or the conversation, it's very difficult to get anything resolved. It's very difficult to come to any kind of conclusion. It's very difficult to walk away in a win-win situation. So I think remaining rational, remaining calm, and, you know, taking the time to see it from the other person's perspective is crucial. It's crucial. So your calm approach, Deidre, may really be good advice for us all. I would love to see you execute that, so I, you know, maybe I'll get to do that one day.
No, because I'm going to walk away. I keep telling y'all I'm going to walk away.
I said I want to see you execute the walk away thing. That's what I'm talking about.
How come we just can't love everybody? You don't need to see that. We just love.
I can see love when you love everybody.
What are you wearing, tie-dye shirts all day? Come on. Well,
but you have to understand that, you know, like while you guys were, you know, you both are PK, you know, and y'all saw it from the, as a y'all saw it from the inside, working behind the scenes with pastors and stuff like that, you know. You see a lot of stuff, and people get upset because of your relationship with the pastor. People test you. They really do. They really, ooh, they test you. Oh, my God.
I do agree with that. I mean, y'all don't know this, and I mean, it's not public knowledge that Deidre was engaged to a pastor at one point in time. However,
you know what, Heather? So,
first
we're going to move on to another.
First lady, just walking
when
away.
When I don't tell you, I cannot resist that.
To another conversation. Like, Heather, that was low. And so I'm going to walk away from this conversation. But I'm walking away. That was nervous, but I can't quit confidence, Heather. Jesus.
Oh, God. Okay, it's not necessarily true, but it was sure funny, honey. Okay, so my friend from Seattle said, sometimes you just ask them, are you finished? Are you sure you haven't forgotten anything? And then you just smile once they get through going through all they want to say and do.
Yeah, see, but you know what, though? What I've noticed with Heather sometimes, Heather can be a little sarcastic. And so you could be talking with Heather, and she'll be like, are you done? Are you done? Are you done? And so all you're doing is edging it on.
When I'm saying, are you done?
Yes.
When I'm asking a person genuinely, are you done? I genuinely want to know, are you done?
Okay.
I'm trying to wait to see till you got to the finish line.
Because
what I don't like for people to do is to keep repeating the scenario. Not necessarily what they're saying, because if they don't feel like it's going through, you're going to keep saying it. But I mean, don't keep repeating the behavior. So if you got it all out, okay, then you got it all out. But let's not argue and then come back and argue, and you're going to keep saying, this, you know, you're going to keep digging at the same thing. Like, are you done? Because when we're done, because I feel like also when you said everything you need to say and I said everything I needed to say, I'm not sure how you feel about where your words or your intentions landed with me. I just want to be clear that I know that you heard me. Now, what you do with it from there is up to you, but I know that you heard me.
Oh.
I think a lot of times, especially if, you know, if there's a confrontation, whether it be at work, whether it be at church, yes, one way of handling it is, you know, Deidre's way of just walking away from it if it seems to get too hot in some way, shape, or form. But I do feel that when situations arise, what can also egg a person on or cause a situation just to fester and always be there is the fact that there is no outlet for this in order for the two people to move on. If you have one person saying what they need to say and the other person doesn't say anything to combat it or just doesn't have anything to say about it, the person who the person who initially started talking is going to feel like they're going to feel some type of way about the fact that you didn't say anything.
Okay, well then for those people, Jeff, then they're going to have to learn how to use a different approach, because obviously the approach that they're using is not working. If the person is not talking at all, then that setting or however they're trying to handle it, that's not good.
Right.
Especially if they're just not saying anything, but let's just say they're saying what I would normally say. Either we need to take this, can we talk about this one-on-one and not in front of everybody, or can you lower your voice, or are you going to be open to hearing the whole story instead of whatever? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because I done the, I'm not saying nothing. This is foolish. This, I'm not talking. I'm done.
Okay, but you can't take that approach, Deidre.
If I don't feel like it's going to go anywhere. But you got to know you. Because I know me, if you're coming at me and you're trying to push me in a corner, okay, then I don't have anything to say. Because you're not even open to hearing what I'm saying. You're not even thinking about anything from my perspective. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to stop talking. How about that? Okay, you can stand here and keep talking all day long, and I'll stand there and look at you with nothing. Zero. Zip. Nothing. And what does that solve? Nothing.
Well, no, you're right. But I think when we're talking about difficult people, you got to separate defending yourself, them acting or being offended, and really focus on the facts. So I think what you say when you say, you know, are you open to hearing the whole story? You know, one thing that I like to say to people a lot of times, and I don't know who or where I heard it said, but like about the possibilities of it being something else. Like, what is the possibility that this is actually what happened, or this is actually what the intention was behind that, or this is what I was doing or you were doing? Look at the possibility of it being something else other than that which is offensive or that which you feel like you have to defend against.
Okay.
Well, I have a question. How do you deal with someone who was always just strictly on the defense? Because I'm in a situation where I have a close friend who is just difficult. She's like sarcastic all the time. I guess that's just her nature, and I know that's how she is, but I still get offended by a lot of the stuff that she says or how she says it to me. And it's like anytime I come at her about something, she's like always on the defense. And it's to the point where I've had to step back and reevaluate my friendship with her, and it's kind of to the point where I don't know if I want to be friends with this person anymore because I can't take being around this person because they're so difficult all the time. And I'm not a very confrontational person, so it's either I try to ignore it or walk away or try to talk it out, but it turns into like a big argument. And this is like every single time something goes on. So do you guys have any advice on how you guys deal with somebody that is consistently difficult?
So give us an example of what she's, when you say she's negative all the time, is it like one of those girlfriends where you're saying something about your boyfriend and she might be like, well, how you know he's not doing this? Like, she will find the path of it being negative in whatever situation it is.
It's not really, like, finding a negative in a situation. It's more so, like, she's just a jerk. Like, she always has something, like, smart to say, or she just always has a side remark to say. And as long as I've known her, I should be used to it. But it's like, I'm trying to think of some examples because I've been in so many arguments with her before. Okay, I say, especially when she drinks, it's like any and everything comes out of her mouth, like when she drinks. Like, you might get mad about something, and she'll be like, oh, my gosh, it's not that serious. And it has nothing to do with her. It's not her business, but she makes it her business. So it's like, she just says remarks out of her mouth, like, at any given time. It's like she doesn't know how to talk to people, basically.
So at this point, are you more...
She always has something smart to say. And it's just hard to be, like, around her at times because she just says whatever. And it's just, on the outside looking in, it's like, damn, like, why are you always sarcastic? Or why are you always being a jerk to people? But that's just her personality. But it's getting to the point where people are, like, tired of it. And when I say people, I mean, like, other friends of ours, like mutual friends.
So
instead
of ending the conversation with her or with yourself and not pulling her to the carpet on it before now, because I think a lot of times we perpetuate that behavior in people when we say, oh, that's just how they are. Instead of saying, that doesn't make me feel good. I don't like when you do that. You make everybody uncomfortable when you act that way.
Her thing is, like, you should know me by now. This is just how I am. And I'm like, well, I've known her for X amount of years, but at the same time, I don't feel like I deserve to be talked to just however you feel like you can talk to me. Like, no. And I think I may be a little bit more disappointed in myself for not actually, like, laying it all out on the line, like, this is how you are. Because she's one of those type of people, like, she's very defensive. I don't want her to feel like I'm attacking her. But it's come to the point where, like, me and another friend were talking about probably sitting her down and just having, like, a little intervention session with her, like, hey, this is not going to work. Because I value my friendships, and this is somebody that I could really consider a friend, but it's to the point where I feel like I can't be around her anymore just because of her attitude and how she goes about things, especially when we're out and she drinks or whatnot. So it's kind of like I don't know. I'm not good at dealing with difficult people, so I don't really know how to approach it or whatnot. Besides, I mean, I know I probably should talk to her, but I don't think it's going to help.
Well,
because she's really stubborn as well. So, and I'm stubborn, so I don't think it helps.
You'll be surprised what a pull aside will do. Like, taking, you know, like you and her, like you saying, hey, let's go to dinner. Or, hey, why don't you come and hang out with me? And then you have a heart-to-heart. Instead of trying to make it some big intervention, you know, where everybody, see, because an intervention, depending on how you do it, that person's going to come in on the defensive because now you have a two against one. And ain't
right.
Nobody came to me one-on-one and said anything like, hey, you know, this is a problem. I'm going to give you a perfect example. When I was a lot younger, I would say anything. I mean, whatever came in my head, that's exactly what I said. And some people will still think that
I don't have a filter. Excuse me.
Shut up, Heather.
Was that just like last year's birthday or this year's birthday? I'll wait.
Anywho, really and truly, now I filter a lot more than I ever did. But anyway, one day my mother came to me and said, Deidre, the stuff that comes out your mouth, one, it cannot be taken back, and number two, it hurts people. And when she said that, it changed everything for me. Because I don't want to be responsible for hurting people. But all it took was for her to talk to me. And now, regardless of what people may think, like when I say stuff or when I send out emails to the Amongst Friends family, I literally sit and reread and try, and I'm thinking about all these different angles.
You couldn't.
No, you don't. About, you do not reread them.
No, Joey, you can't say what I do and I don't do.
You do not reread them.
Okay, well, I'm telling you that I do. But anyhow, so I read and I try and filter a lot.
Brittany, what I would like to offer you is this. I understand that you are as sweet as pie, Lady Brittany. But for this particular friend, what you might want to do is strap on some armor and go toe to toe with her in a conversation and give her when she talks to you, and
okay.
let her see how that feels, and also you see how it feels. And if that changes the dynamic of your relationship for you, meaning you can deal with her when you are like that with her, then you know that when you guys are walking through the mall and you're doing some shopping and she comes out her mouth and she says something to you that, you know, it comes out in her abrasive way, you just give it right back to her and you just keep it moving. But you have to see how that feels for you.
I wouldn't suggest that, because if Britt is already saying she's not confrontational and she says something like that and old girl come back and say something flip, then next thing you know, they in the mall
it's gotten to that point. Like I used to bite my tongue with her, but now I don't. And it took for me to truly distance myself from her and stop hitting her up or whatnot for her to realize that I'm not playing around when I say I can't take you anymore. Like, now it seems like more so we're just cordial now. And I know I can talk to her today and it'll seem like we just talked yesterday, but I've tried that going back at her. It doesn't work because it just escalates the whole situation. And we're sitting in the public arguing. And she's brought the situation up on the phone before. Like, she notices that we clash a lot, but no matter how much we try to talk about it, the conversation will last for like 2 minutes. Then we'll talk about something else. And then the next time I see her, it's the same thing. But I don't want to take over Heather's question and things. I know she probably has more to talk about, but I just wanted to know, like, if you guys had any techniques or advice on dealing with somebody that's, like, consistently difficult. But thank you.
No. Definitely isn't half a secret, but we could talk about it all night long. I think we all have a friend or somebody in our life. The other area I think that would probably most interesting or closely related to what we were just discussing is difficult people within your family.
Mm.
Oh, how we love our family. Mm.
I have a story.
You know, I'm at a loss for this one because family is family. And depending on how you were raised, it's sort of like a level of loyalty, support that you give there, but it does become difficult because you can't escape your family, especially if it's of your immediate nucleus. You kind of have to just find ways to deal and to work around that. Does anyone have a difficult family member that they like to talk about tonight? They're not listening, if you're wondering.
Yes, they are.
Your difficult family member is listening?
I have a difficult family member that I know is not listening, hopefully. But my grandmother. Yeah, my mom's mom.
Oh,
it might sound shocking to some people, but my grandmother is very difficult. She's very blunt. She's stern. She's one of those type of people where if she doesn't like how you say something to her, and I'm not even trying to be rude to her, but if she just doesn't like what I said, it's a problem. And it's like every day I'm learning to deal with that. So that's another person that I love my grandma dearly, but that's another person that I try to take in small doses, because when I'm around her and anything I do or say that just doesn't sit well with her is a problem. And she'll come at me in what I would feel a disrespectful way. And it's like when I tell her how I feel about things, she gets defensive, of course, and then it's like she'll flip it on me.
That's
something that I don't really talk about with a lot of people, but yeah, I used to be really close to my grandmother, like up under her all the time. But as I've gotten older, you know, I do have a bad attitude, believe it or not, and we're like oil and vinegar sometimes. And it just sucks because she's the only person I can honestly say that in my immediate family that I would consider to be difficult. And it's strange because my grandma, to some people they're like, you know, that's your grandmother or whatever. But it's really hard for me because it drives me insane. So I had to talk with her the other day about it because we argue a lot. We clash a lot over the dumbest things. So, yeah, that's my story about my difficult person. And that I'm still trying to work on. That relationship I'm still trying to work on. But it's a work in progress. So it's been going on for some time now.
Well, yeah, and grandparents can be difficult. People hear me talk a lot about Grandpa, and he does a lot of great things. But I think... What you say?
I say Grandpa is hilarious. That's all I'm gonna say.
Grandpa is hilarious, but Grandpa is very cantankerous. And it's the older they get more set in their ways. And I remember when I had Avery and some of the ways that he would talk to him and deal with him, I would be very offended. Like, Grandpa, don't do that. But as you move towards knowing that someone loves you, cares about you, supports you, that kind of thing, you kind of see what is just their way, their upbringing, the style and the fashion and how they deal. And so after talking to him and understanding his mother never hugged him or told him she loved him until like ages later, when you grow up hard and stern and this is how it goes, it's kind of difficult to relate differently. The other thing, though, might be in your situation, Brittany, is that perhaps, you know, like you said, you used to be up under your grandmother all the time, y'all would be together, things like that. She might be missing that closeness and also having difficulty with dealing with the fact that now you're an adult. You're grown, you have a life, you know, you're doing other things. And although you probably would cherish the opportunity to be around her, and in your mind you're saying, if she wasn't acting so difficult, I probably would spend more time with her or be around her more. And she's probably saying, if only she would spend more time with me, that's why I'm angry, that's why I'm acting difficult. You see what I'm saying? Like, it's probably, you know what I mean, different things going through both of you all's heads that are just crossing each other, but you're on the same page looking for the same thing, whereas you probably do want that same closeness and that opportunity to be around her. But you have grown up, you have your own life, you work, you know, those kind of things. And so that's difficult. You know what I mean? I often look at my mother and her relationship with my son, like he wants, come get me, Nana, and go over your house, and spend the night over your house. But I realize as he gets 15, 16, 17, whereas my mother just garnishes in that, and he's been everything for her and the grandkids. As they get older, they're less interested in going over to grandma's house.
Right.
And it's more like, I want to be with my friends, I want to go to the movies, and then by the next point, they're off to college, then they have a job, you know, that kind of thing. So I think it's like trying to kind of find that balance in that situation of how you can be around her and possibly diffuse the, you know, irritating part of it, or if she said something, a nice little pat on the hand, grandma, you know that's not nice, you know, that kind of thing.
You know what? I tried that the other day, and I was told I was being disrespectful. So,
Because you told her that wasn't nice.
Well, she made a comment to me that really, I was offended by it. Later on down the line, she said she was joking, but if you guys never met my grandmother, she's like not your typical grandmother. Like, she's really dry sometimes. Like, her attitude is kind of dry sometimes. So, to me, she wasn't, you know, I didn't take it as she was joking. And now that I'm pregnant, like, I'm super emotional and everything offends me or whatever. So, I told her, and I tried to do it in a nice way because I know how she is. And I told her, I was like, hey, you know, what you said to me, I think was mean. I was like, you know, I kind of think that was rude, what you said. And the tone that you said it into me, I felt like it was rude, like it hurt my feelings. And she got offended by that. She was just like, you know, I was being disrespectful because I said that her comment was rude. It's just the way you say things to her. Like, it just doesn't, I don't know. It's just, she doesn't tolerate anything. So, it's me going back to biting my tongue. I think as I got older and more expressive in how I feel about things, that's when all the clashing started. Because, of course, when I was younger, I wasn't, you know, doing a whole lot of talking back. But now that I'm older, it's like, yeah, I'm an adult. Like, I want to say how I feel, too, just like you want to say how you feel. But she's still, you know, and of course that's my grandmother, but she's still on it, like, you know, instead of talking about it like adults, I have to remember that I'm still a child in her eyes, and that's my grandmother. So
and that's how she really sees it. And she probably took it more like you were correcting her versus you saying you hurt my feelings with that, right, wrong, or indifferent. It hurt me for you to say that. And I think that's where, like, the disconnect is where, you know, she's thinking, oh, you think you're grown, you're going to correct me, or you're going to chastise me, when, you know, what you're really saying to her is, I feel like that was a rude comment you made to me. It hurt my feelings. It felt rude. It felt offensive. You know, those kind of things. And I think, you know, that's really how, when dealing with difficult people, people in general, the cross in what we're saying, and part of those 10 tips that I gave early was, you know, ensuring understanding and communication, is because one of us is saying one thing, but the other person is hearing it as something else.
Right.
And you're hearing one thing, and she's actually saying something else. So to her, it was a joke. And it was a bit off kilter, but I'm sure if you knew it was a joke, it probably would have still pinched you a little bit, but you'd have threw it away, you know, went in one ear and out the other. Had it had a little laughter behind it, a little lightness in her voice when she said it.
Right. And
all
it,
of
and
that
it
makes
actually,
a difference.
Yeah. It was the tone. It was like attitude.
Yeah.
It was like giving me attitude, and I was like, okay. You know, like, was that necessary? I didn't say that, but that's what I was thinking. Like, that comment wasn't necessary, and then that's when I told her how I felt. And then it just went to the left.
You should have mushed her and said, look here, little elderly.
Oh, no.
She's not
like, oh,
I am
no.
pregnant. I am pregnant. My hormones are raging.
No.
And I
do
I've not
tried to explain that to her because, you know, she didn't understand why I was so upset with her because she called me the next day. She didn't understand why I was so upset with her, although I didn't really show it. I just basically stated, like, you know, I felt like that was rude. That was hurtful what you said, whatever. And I guess she took it as, like, I guess she noticed that I felt some type of way. She called me the next day and tried to talk about it. But, of course, it got flipped on me at the end of the day. I mean, she apologized, but it was still one of those type of things where you still need to know your place because I'm your grandmother. And there's certain things that you don't need to say to me. And maybe it's certain things we can't say to you. So.
Well, yeah. Sometimes there is that character flaw of our elders that they don't realize that they help to raise, you know, the people that they're talking to. So at some point, I mean, you kind of have to. Being an older person, you know, you can't help to raise somebody and then expect them to, you know, always go goo-goo gaga when you talk to them. You know what I'm saying? You got to expect them to one day take it upon themselves to live their lives and take control. And at the point where they start doing that and you start seeing them doing that, there's a let go. And there's a respect because you are, you know, you're not out there robbing, killing, stealing, you know, you got a good job. You're going to be a mom soon, you know, so I'll let you do that.
No, but I think you also, like, I always felt like my father, which is difficult for no reason, like, he knew how to push my buttons, and eventually I knew how to push his. And a lot of people really say, you know, you're daddy's girl, you're this. But me and my father had a very difficult, it was crazy, because it was never a doubt that we loved each other. But it was just like, I think I just came to a point at some point in life when I was just like, you are not going to talk to me crazy or act crazy. And I'll never forget, one thing my father used to always say to me was like, you don't pop in your mouth, you're being smart mouth, that kind of thing. And I never forget one day he said it to me. And I looked at him and I said, do you honestly think I'm going to stay in here and let you hit me? And it was like we both looked at each other because after I said it, and after he realized that I had said it, it was more like, what is going on here? Like, who does this? This is a parent-child relationship. This has gone too far. This is, like, crazy. But we had one of those relationships where it was just, you know, me growing up, I'm not your little girl anymore. I want to do things my way. I see things this way. I think when you're more privy to your parents' relationship, you take sides. And all of that engulfed together growing up, you know, wanting to be independent, date boys and things like that, and start kissing and stuff, you get hot. And although I knew how he was, because my father was very much the kind of person, if you weren't for what he was doing or what he was saying, you were definitely against it. And you could have just been neutral, like, I don't care, I'm not Democratic or Republican. But if he was Democratic, you were definitely Republican if you didn't say you were Democratic. It wasn't no Tea Party. It wasn't no independent. It was only between you were the enemy. And so I think trying to maneuver through that, as I got older, I just stopped taking it. I really stopped taking it personal. And I realized that you can vocalize how you feel or what you feel in a way and find the way that person understands it. Find the way that they can take it. Find the way where they'll understand it, where you can communicate it to them in a way that they get what you're saying, that it's not offensive to them, and you don't have to be on the defense for what you said, but it's more like you standing up. So I think, you know, even with Brittany's situation, perhaps instead of saying it was rude, because it was rude to you, but it came across disciplinary to Grandma, more like, Grandma, that really hurt my feelings, what you said. And I know that you love me. I know that you wouldn't set out to hurt me, but it just really hurt when you said that. Versus that was rude, or you should be nice and you shouldn't talk to people, because people do automatically jump to being offended, and you have to be on the defense for your words when they feel like they're being corrected, disciplined, coached, and it was unsolicited on their behalf.
any more difficult family members because we're coming close to the end of our powwow.
Powwow.
Jeff, you were really in a singing mood tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to Mary Cove. Is it ever difficult? Is your spouse ever difficult?
Oh, hell yes.
Oh, yes.
Hell
and
yes.
How do you deal with that?
But I'm the more difficult spouse, though.
Figures.
I can almost positively believe that, Joey.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm at, first of all, Heather and Jeff, I don't need y'all to co-sign for me. Thank you.
Okay.
But the reason why I say I'm the more difficult one, because my wife is, she's the kind of person that just be like, okay, it's said and done. It's over with. But for me, I just, for a lot of reasons, I just need to understand why this happened the way it did. And my wife is just like, look, I was mad, you was mad, that's why it happened. All right, let's move on. So that's why I say I'm the more difficult one, because I just need a complete understanding. It has to be come full circle for me. And it can't just be like, oh, yeah, this happened because it was raining outside. We good. Let's go to sleep. But, yeah, no. And then marriage is kind of funny because You gotta like with difficult family members, I can just walk away and, you know, see them at the next family reunion. Still love them from a distance, but I don't have to deal with them. But when you're married, you can't walk away. You
that's
cannot
right.
walk away. So I think that's what makes me the more difficult one, because it's not like when we were dating and we had two separate apartments, you know, you could have moments where you argued and then you're like, okay, well, I'm going to go home, give you a day, and then we'll meet up tomorrow or whatever. You can't do that. So I think that's what makes me more difficult, because when we were dating, you know, we didn't have those issues because we had our own space. But now it's just like, okay, the atmosphere in the house is kind of tense. Let's talk about it.
My wife is difficult because she won't let me have a concubine. But on a serious note, it's like we a lot of times people say this is, you know, my wife is my better half, right? So a lot of times when my wife is trying to get me to change my mind about something, I will let her state her case about it. I will listen to it. I will try to pick it apart as much as possible. But in the event, and it has been several times, that she has made it to the promised land, I am going to change my mind or my ruling on something involving us, the house, or how I'm going to move on a certain issue or something like that, she will then turn around and say to me, no, I'm not trying to change your mind. I'm like, oh, yes, you were. That's why we went to this almost besides the first place. I'm changing my mind. That's kind of difficult. And, Joe, ain't nobody trying to play you, son.
You did. Y'all both did just try to play me.
No.
It's cool.
No, you said... No, you said a real statement, and we just
and y'all both agreed. I didn't need no co-signers. My credit is just
fine.
I thought that was what friends do.
We support. We back up. We provide more.
That wasn't very supportive. That hurt me, Heather. That hurt me.
Oh, I'm gonna tell you right now. You saying something on this show? We gonna make it like Facebook. Shouldn't have put it out there.
You're going to get right. You're going to get bullied on amongst friends. Just so
oh,
you're
oh,
ready.
It don't bother me for real, though. I have reached
well,
the
ladies and
ground.
Gentlemen, we have come to the hour Well, we draw nigh this in-depth conversation of dealing with difficult people. It has been our pleasure to have you join us tonight. I'm not very sure that it would have been the optimal occasion that it has been without you. Please fill our appreciation through the airways. Let the electricity flow.
Oh, my.
And know that we appreciate you.
Wow.
We'll be back the same time next week, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central Pacific.
She got some.
10 o'clock Central. We'll be back Wednesday with another hot topic of love, sex, relationships. We'd like to thank Joey, Deidre, Brittany, Jeff, and Q for a wonderful experience of dealing with difficult people. Join us on Facebook. Be sure to like our page and join the community of Amongst Friends.
I just want to be
clear that she that nobody told her that we were going to be taking up a collection for the preacher of the hour, that she was getting any money for this, right? Nobody told her that, right?
Right.
It's all free. It's all free.
I thought, Jeff, I'm telling you what happened.
Jeff, do not believe the hype. Do not believe the hype.
Huh.
Oh, my goodness. If I got some, you all were all now.
Will we know because... Oh, never mind.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we won't be difficult people to go back to getting some.
That's hilarious. Y'all are too much. Too much. Too much. Too much. Hold on 1 second. Are we done yet?
Yeah, so.
Yes.
Okay. I didn't get to play my stunning outro.
You can still do it.
Hey!
Amongst friends, all up in your area. We got top picks causing mass hysteria. Peek the technique, we hit you hard from the pew to the street. Amongst men, the ladies for the men. Just 21, or wearing the pants. Fab or combo that you like. Come and get with us tonight. Amongst friends, fab or combo. Amongst friends, fab or combo. Grown and sexy baby, grown and sexy baby, ooh. Amongst friends, fab or combo. Amongst friends, fab or combo. Grown and sexy baby, grown and sexy baby, ooh.
Ooh, ooh. Ooh, ooh.
All right. I hollers.
You just should have walked away. You just should have walked away.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. Just walk away. Very nicely, just walk away. Okay. All right. See y'all later.
All right.